and welcome to another episode of Cathode Ray Mission. I am, as always, Will Scoville in Berkeley, California. With me today is my co-host, Randy Heyer in Oklahoma City. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Will. How's it going?
Pretty good, man. I'm all right. And with us today is a very special guest. I've been wanting to have him on for a bit, and I finally reached out and asked him. It is OJ Patterson, member of the Super Trash Brothers, writer down in Southern California now, but I know him from when he was in the Bay Area. And welcome to the show, OJ.
Will, Randy, my guys, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Right. Yeah, how have you been?
Oh, man, I've been excellent. I've been in my house. I've been gaining weight like crazy.
Yeah. I don't know
if you can tell, I'm growing my hair out. It's the longest it's ever been. I've got a headband.
How's the back of your neck feel?
It feels weird with like hair like crawling down the back of my neck. And that's the most annoying part.
Yeah.
Because I can get it like away from my ears, from covering my ears, but I can't get it off the back of my neck. So I'm getting used to it.
Yeah.
And, who knows when I'll cut it.
I've gone through so many quarantine beards that they all have their own name, their own mood, personality.
Yeah, that I'm keeping short now, too. That's the thing I can't deal with in quarantine is having a beard that's too big.
Yeah.
Like, mine is I'm about to trim it again, so.
I've seen some guys with, like, some full-on, you know, some respectable beards, and they just skip the beard with their face mask, and I'm just like, are you a wizard? How is this happening?
Well, OJ, today, you have brought us a movie that has been on my to-watch list for quite a bit, but I have never seen it, and finally you got me to watch it. Yeah. It is... why don't you tell us what it is, OJ?
Yo, like, I don't even know... I'm curious to hear about, like, how you heard about it. Like, the algorithm got us on this one. I was just flipping through HBO Max, and it was there. And it had kind of like a, you know, pretty cool, like mid-70s art direction on everything. So that spoke to me. It just felt like, I don't know. It felt like it was just weird enough to watch because I was in that mood, but I didn't want to watch like Harley Quinn or whatever. And yeah, the movie, as I understand it, I was very high at the time that I watched it. But they go, you know, a group of girls, they go on like a summer vacation situation. And they go out into the woods, real cabin in the woods. And then like one by one, something bad happens and there's a cat involved and somebody's jealous of a mom, and there's very great but very dated sets of where people are supposed to live. And at the end of the day, I think it was just like pre-music video special effect, like, extravaganza.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, what can we do? Have you heard of this blue screen? Like, it was very like,
yes.
Yeah. It was almost like when you see like a Newgrounds with somebody who just like had too much time and just MS Paint, and they made something amazing, but you're just like, this is some Newgrounds ass shit.
Yeah. The movie, we kind of forgot to mention it. It is House from 1977. This is a Japanese horror comedy, according to Wikipedia. This is, of course, the Wiki Roundup, our new segment, where we review the movie very quickly.
Wiki Roundup.
It was directed by, and I'm going to butcher this, and I'm sorry, Nobuhiko Obayashi.
Okay.
Obayashi, I think.
Obayashi?
I think that's right. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I apologize if I totally butchered that. I didn't practice it. And yeah, it is a 1977 psychedelic horror comedy about a bunch of girls who go to a house and experience all the horrors of that house. Which sounds boring, but I assure you, this movie is not. It's very visually all over the place. Yeah,
the editing style is like frenetic and crazy. Mm-hmm. Like just like the, it's so dense with just like weird stuff happening and shit. It felt like it was like a manga or something, right?
Yeah,
manga. Or whatever, like kind of like in a comic style. There's like a point where like something falls over the ledge and it like shows the thing falling like within the scene and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The weird camera tricks and stuff. I don't know. I thought it was very crazy, like visually interesting the entire way through, you know? Sort of relentless, too much almost.
I agree.
Relentless, yeah.
Like this is a movie that I remember when it got kind of a push in, I want to say like 2008 or 9,
mm-hmm.
Criterion put it out and they toured it and it came to like the Red Vic in San Francisco and it played there for a bit. And that's where I first heard about it. And then I would see t-shirts with that cat on it, the big red cat that Criterion used for the DVD cover. But I've heard a crazy Japanese horror movie that was also psychedelic, which kind of it sounds like it was tailor-made for me, but I just never took the time out to watch it.
Yeah.
And so I want to say, like, I had watched, right before this, I watched The Thomas Crown Affair, which if you've never seen that, the original one from the 60s, I want to say.
Not the Brosnan one. Russo.
But it is very similar to this one. So
what?
Yeah. Oh my God, dude. Like that movie, it is all about like dividing up the screen, having different shit going on in different squares, growing and shrinking. Like it's
all okay. Steve McQueen. So in stylistically, it's
yes. It's not about a bunch of people going into the woods and meeting the horrors of the house.
I was like, I did not know there was a supernatural element in the Thomas Crown Affair. Yeah.
No, just stylistic.
Check that out, man. Yeah. Is that on Criterion or where can we find the Thomas Crown Affair starring?
I was watching it on Pluto TV. So
nice.
What the hell is Pluto?
It's like Tubi. It's free. So yeah, check it out.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, OJ, like, I want to know, like, have you seen anything else like this before? I mean, you said the algorithm brought it to your attention. What do you think triggered that algorithm? What have you been watching lately?
So I don't know if it was like HBO Max specifically, because I think I bookmarked it pretty early in. But I think my internal algorithm has been tuned into a little bit more like kind of not, I don't want to say girl power. It predates girl power. It was just like there's a lot of movies in the 70s that was like feminist movement critiques or feminist movement recontextualized. So I was watching Little Darlings with Tatum O'Neill.
Is that the movie about camp?
Yeah.
And they're like losing their... Yeah. I haven't seen that since I was like 10 maybe or something. I remember saw that one time. Yeah, nice.
And that had... I saw a visual in that movie that just like... I'm like, this is like way more subversive. It was just way more like... bonkers, but also realistic than anything I'd seen in like a Melissa McCarthy movie or anything, or even just like an easy, like any of the teen girl centric comedies. There's a scene in Little Darlings where they rip a condom dispenser off the wall and then they take it out into the woods and bash it open. And then they start opening the condoms and they're just like blowing into them and like having a real fun time. And I'm just like, yeah, maybe it's of a certain age, but kids are animals. Yeah. I was an animal when I was 12, 13. Like, the things I would do to combat my sexual awakening shall never be spoken by human mouths. It's nuts what you can do when you have, like, the autonomy of an adult, but you're, like, 4 or 5 or 6 years from that being a thing in real life. So I saw that. I saw Girlfriends, which is, like, proto... Francis Ha, like 1970s.
Okay.
Christopher Guest is in it as like the boyfriend.
Oh, really?
The Adam Driver role, if there ever were one. Like, oh, is he a nice guy or is he just like kind of a dick? I don't know. Same thing with whatchamacallit? This Is My Story, I think, which is like a mom, two daughters in New York doing stand up. But also being mad at each other movie from like the early 90s. Mm. So yeah, there's just like a lot of movies I've been seeing in quarantine that are just like, oh man, these are like dope underdog stories. And there's crazy dynamics going on with the people. And there's so much ambiguity. It's just like a delicious menu of complex emotions and complex relationships. So yeah, that's why I enjoyed House as much as I did, even though I don't think it was like destined for me to watch it. I think I had a similar situation. I was just like, what's that cat? And I eventually saw it because in HBO Max, when I saw it, it was just like, I think it was from another part of the movie where they're like all blue faces. And I was like, mm-hmm. So yeah, I didn't even notice the cat until later. I was like, oh yeah, I've seen that on some shirts at an Outside Lands Fest.
You know what? I'd seen that poster before, but I didn't realize that was a cat until I
watched Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And,
go ahead, Randy.
No, please. I have nothing. Well, go ahead.
No, I hadn't even put it in that kind of context of being another one of those female-led movies from that era and how that it could even fit into that. But the fact that you're kind of watching all that and maybe that brought it up is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And in that regard, there's another movie from that era that I just watched that now that you mentioned it kind of reminds me of this a little bit, which was Foxes. I don't know if you've seen that one.
No. Nah.
But it's got Jodie Foster in it and a few other women who I don't really recognize.
Okay.
But it is a very soft focus movie from like the late 70s, maybe 1980, probably 1978. But it's got Scott Baio in it too. This is post Bugsy Malone, Scott Baio and Jodie Foster reprising their roles, not really reprising their roles, but coming together again. But it's again just like following the life of like four friends and their families and their own stories, and treating teenage girls as teenage girls and not some like fantasy of like anything. And it was kind of like, man, they still don't make movies like this. They still don't treat women like young women like this in movies a lot of times.
In that movie, were they like, was there like a real, like a friendship bond? Because I feel like in the late 2000s, early 2010s, there were movies like The Tracy Fragments and Diary of a Teenage
Bruce McDonald.
Girl. Yeah, where it's just like, oh man, it sucks to be a woman when you are coming of age. But also... Yeah. You are tiny furniture. Like, oh, they're so lonely. I wish they would have someone or some support system so that they're not just having to deal with the improprieties of human existence by themselves.
Yeah.
Was Fox's a little bit more optimistic, I guess?
A bit more. And it kind of deals more with the thing of these are four really good friends. And at the very beginning, they're very good friends. And, you know, they're getting older. They're getting out of high school. They're becoming adults. And they're trying to act a little bit like that while also being, you know, children still and not quite understanding it. And just how they are kind of slowly drifting away from each other. Mm-hmm. And if you know, that movie Ghost World, I think, does is like a kind of a condensed version of what they're trying to hit at.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, okay, it's that weird year after high school where you don't really know what the fuck you are. And it's really dealing with that, but with like four separate people.
Yeah.
And the ways that they decide to take their life from there. And
yeah. Do you think it's just an aesthetics thing? Because I feel like I could get the same juice, narratively speaking, from like a Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants or Yaya or whatever.
I think so. I think it is an aesthetic thing. And I think that it is, you know, Foxes was directed by a dude. But, you know, there is certain points where you can have a movie about women that is directed by a man that mm-hmm. really understands it, you know. And I think the script was written by a husband and wife. And so it really, it treated everyone seriously. It took them, you know, it did not talk down to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I really like about it. And Randy and I, in the last episode we recorded, we're talking about, Welcome to the Dollhouse, which is the main character in that movie is a teenage girl, and how much I, as someone who was maybe a few years older than that, when that movie came out, how much I identified with the life of this teenage girl.
Yeah.
You know, and so to have something that kind of like hits everything and not necessarily be like, this is a woman's movie about women's problems, or this is a man's movie about man's problems. It's like, well, this is about how human beings deal with certain situations.
Yeah.
And even though Foxes is like a movie about women, about young women, it really is something that kind of like speaks to a larger thing about growing up. So,
yeah.
Very different though than House, which is a big
movie. Indeed. House is very different than that.
Yeah. But no, this does take that. And, you know, I think that I think this movie is weird that everyone is kind of broken out and their names match kind of their personality.
I love it.
I loved it too, honestly.
Yeah.
Gorgeous fantasy at the very beginning. Yes. You're like, are they just, is that pet names? It's like, nope. Because then there's Melody, Kung Fu. Mm-hmm.
Mac, she's always Mac. A burger.
Yeah, I was like, who's the one that wants to eat Mac?
I'm yes. It felt very Goonies or Sandlot.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, but yeah, you're totally right about
just
that.
Just like Squints. Why? Because he can't see. Well, because that's how we communicate as kids, especially if you have, you know, I had like 14 Johns in my life at one point when I was a kid. So you either go by your last name or you, you know, you figure out some situation.
When I started doing all my comedy work stuff, I ended up I just kept meeting Jessies. I kept liking Jessies. There's so many Jessies. And
all great. I've never met a Jesse I didn't like, but
yeah, I haven't had a bad experience with a Jesse yet, but there's a lot of them.
It gets a little blurry because, you know, there's like a Venn. I would love the I would love the visualization, a bar graph, maybe a Venn diagram of just like, all right, so they're all white, right? And then it just skews towards white. And then it's just like, all right, some of them have glasses. Some of the, like, the it's not quite a perfect circle.
Yeah.
But it's like, all right, you know. And all respect and love to all the Jessies in our lives, but it does, you know, there's a difference between a Jesse Het and a Jesse Elias, you know? What kind of show are you going to go see? All love and respect to Jessies, but, you know, Jesse McGrath's bringing a different flavor than anybody else.
Yep. I have, because I was involved at a certain point doing something with multiple Jessies at one time.
Oh, God.
And I was like explaining to Jen, like, no, I got to do this thing with Jesse. Oh, are you doing this? No, not that Jesse, this Jesse. And then this is the one that does this and this. And so.
Would have been nice if we could just be like, Snacks. You going to hang out with Snacks?
Yeah. Yep.
Who's Snacks? I don't know. It's just what his name is.
You know, I wish I had a crazy name like that. That would be awesome. You know, I don't know what it would be, but
I don't know.
What's a predominant personality trait or?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
That's hard to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, same here. Like, I don't know. Nobody. I don't know any other Wills. I've maybe met.
Yeah.
Like,
no. I'm the only Randy that I know.
Yeah.
Really. So, I've known some Randys in my life, but they're not really in my life. Like, yeah. Growing up, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. As the only OJ that anyone ever has heard of, it's pretty rough out here. But you know, we're surviving in our uniqueness.
Yeah.
Do you know of any other OJs? Have you ever met another one? Have you just like?
I get pole position on all OJs because I'm literally named Orenthal James.
Yeah.
All right. So if you got like, if your name is like OJ Mayo, if your name is like Osiris Jenkins, you're not a real OJ because you're Trout. That wasn't his full name. It was also Simpson. All right. And that brings another level of concern. Because you know, there's an element of like, all right, you know, if he was just like, those were his initials. No, those are his initials that everyone knew him as. He's still a real person.
Yeah.
And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
He has a social security number and everything. So like, yeah, I got a cousin named OJ. Mm-hmm. There's some professional sports players named OJ. And they might have been, you know, making an overture to Mr. Simpson himself. But my I'm legit.
Yeah.
When the word namesake has a picture of me being like, I don't know.
But have you ever been like at the movies or someone is shouting at someone else and it's like their name is OJ and you're like, huh? Has that ever happened to you?
No. But I was at a wedding, at like an artist wedding, and someone was like, oh, my friend, I also have a friend in New York named OJ. I was like, oh, that's dope. And they were like, yeah, his name is Zebra Cats. And I was like, what? And then, because I knew Zebra Cats, but only as a musician. I never looked. He's like,
yeah.
There's a few artists in my life that I like their music enough to listen to full on albums, but I'm not looking them up on Wikipedia. But yeah. It turns out I have the exact same name as this dude. And it brings so much joy that I learned that at a wedding, drunk out of my mind on a dance floor. And yeah, that was the only time that someone didn't, you know, they didn't mischaracterize me or say, oh, I thought you were this other guy. Because that's happened too.
Yeah.
Especially living in the Bay, especially doing comedy. I got Kasim to the death.
Really?
Yeah. And we look nothing alike. Yeah.
No.
I've gotten W. Kamau Bell when I'm hanging out the punch because he's gone on and I just look tall and black. That's more frustrating than any OJ Simpson joke that anyone could make. But yeah, no, luckily there's not a proliferation of like, it's not the Bort Simpsons joke in my life.
Yeah, I got this thing where like people call me Scott all the time.
Oh.
Like all the time. Me and my brother and my dad, we all get called
Scott. Is that why you're Scott Willis on on Twitter? All right.
Yep.
Why they Scott?
So my last name, Scoville, is SCO, and then at the end is two L's.
Yeah.
So they say the SCO and the two lines, and they're like, Scott. And then they read that first, and they call me Scott. And
I like that because it feels very 70s political thriller misunderstanding. Of just like, the internet should make this unnecessary. Why are you calling me Scott?
It happened at the airport when a TSA person was like, handed me back my ID and was like, thank you, Scott. And I'm like, you did not check my ID.
Yeah, a real bang up job at the highest point of potential calamity.
Yeah, I'm like, boy, you might want to check that again. All right.
Anyway, let's rein it back in and talk a little bit about this movie that's almost impossible to talk about.
It really is.
It's crazy shit happening.
It's a little bit. Oh, go ahead.
I want to know what your history with a Japanese take on ghosts and ghost stories is and stuff. Because I was thinking about Ju-on, Ringu, Pulse, that kind of stuff when I was watching this movie.
Yeah.
Who gets to?
I personally don't really, like, you know, I had my Shudder account. I've gone to certain film fest. I've watched, I'm currently watching the Saw series. Like, I get horror on a big way. And yeah, part of it is I'm scared. I once watched The Ring, the American version, and then, like, when it went off, for some reason there was no channel underneath, so it was static, and that really freaked me out as, like, a 12, 13 year old, and just like, yeah. The movie's kind of real. So I never watched The Eye, never watched Ju-on, I never watched any of that, but what was it? I started reading these books by Junji Ito. You ever heard of Junji Ito?
No.
He's a graphic novelist in Japan, and he wrote Uzumaki.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I've seen this.
And he had an anthology, I think, called, like, Whacked or something. And it was just like, all right, I get it. Like, now I don't like all Japanese horror, but there's a certain brand that's kind of, like, mischievous, if that makes sense. Like,
yes.
It's just like the thing that you are obsessed with, like, gains sentience and tries to destroy you or tries to consume you. And that's really relatable, especially as, like, in this movie, that it embodies or it translates to the wildest things that are kind of scary, but they're just kind of goofy. And that's okay. Like, it's not trying to, like, shake your faith. It's not Seven. It's not like, oh, he starved this guy. It's just like, no, the piano. Watch out for them pianos. And it's like, yeah, all right. I guess I'm watching out for pianos.
Yeah, this is like a super goofy rendition on it. But in the same way, it was like, it's just like there's something about the aunt is like, seems like a real person. And then it's sort of revealed that she's a ghost or something. Unless I missed something. I mean, I was pretty kind of in it. Like, at the end of this, I was like, what the hell is going on? You know, but, like, it just sort of reminded me of, like, that movie, Ugetsu, which is Mizoguchi, I believe is the director, where it's like this guy meets this woman and he basically forgets that he's in the middle of trying to, like, help his family for, like, a year and stuff. And then it's revealed that she's a ghost and stuff. And, like, he's been kind of entranced by her and shit like that, but she was real, but not, you know, just something like some kind of a weird subtlety, you know? And then The Ring and Ju-on, like, where it's like you walk into the house and the ghost is there. And basically once you're marked, like, you cannot escape it. And it just comes, like, that movie is just a series of vignettes of the ghost coming after somebody and then scaring them to death or killing them or whatever, over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was seeing some parallels in this, but this was just like, this was a full on, like, Hanna-Barbera cartoon kind of, like, the piano eating them and all that stuff. It reminded me of, like, Scooby-Doo, but specifically the, like, the 13 Ghosts one with Vincent Price. I don't know either of you.
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it was, I can't believe how many celebrities were in that cartoon universe.
Yeah, totally.
Batman and Robin are real and they can potentially hang out with the Harlem Globetrotters.
When Batman and Robin were with Scooby-Doo, that was, like, the best, man. They'd, like, play that. They'd play regular Scooby-Doo, but then they would just start playing those, like, at the same time slot. Yeah. It was like, what? What is this?
You guys weren't fans of when the Mystery Machine would pick up Mama Cass or Jerry Reed?
That's what we're talking. Yeah, I mean, I love all this. I mean, this was very Scooby-Doo to me. It felt that it felt that kind of goofiness to it as well.
But at the same time, it had a lot of stuff from like the Evil Dead series and the way Raimi was doing his shit. I think he was much more controlled in this and didn't just go crazy. But, you know, very much in the same, like that kind of stuff was developing around the same time.
I mean, what is the history of this movie's release? Is this like a Discovery movie or something?
No, this is Toho who did all the, you know, the Godzilla movies. And it was made in response to Jaws. Jaws was huge and Toho wanted to do a movie that was like...
How?
It was like the same thing. Well, Jaws was like super hip. It was like the new blockbuster. You know,
I know, but like, I just don't see the connection between Jaws and this movie.
I don't either. And so it got like pushed like forward and they did it. And people who went to the movies absolutely loved it. And the critics hated it. And so it kind of got thrown into like, this is a trashy Japanese movie that we're not going to export because we only export high quality shit.
Yeah.
And so is why we didn't get to see like a big push until like 2009 or something.
Okay. I see.
In the States.
You think that's generational? Cause I feel like specifically Jaws was like boomers telling the greatest generation to shut the fuck up. It was just like, you guys are inept and your bureaucracy is bullshit. And it feels like everything that happened in Japan, from my understanding, or just from like a cultural situation, just like the punk rock happened later, it feels like. Or
did it happen in like the late 80s or?
Yeah. Or just the aesthetics. You don't really see like, you know, the like Akira vibe, the kind of like cyberpunk vibe. I feel like that's always indicative of where your culture is at on like a street level, which makes sense if you take into account how crazy grimy cinema was in the 70s, in the late 60s. And I don't think there was a equivalent of this type of movie in Japan, which is like, this is very rock and roll, which is, but like that type of rock and roll that you would watch at like a burger bungalow. You know, like a Burger Records, like super washed out 1960s, but updated, but not like Strokes are posers compared to these.
Yeah,
guys.
It felt Partridge Family kind of.
It felt very. It just felt like it felt counterculture, but it's wild to think that it was influenced by Jaws. Not that Jaws was like super mainstream. I think the reception of it was mainstream, but
you can even see like The Exorcist maybe or something like that.
Maybe, yeah. Like
Jaws and this movie,
you know what it really feels like?
Worlds apart.
It feels like Dawn of the Dead. For me personally, when I watched Dawn of the Dead, it got all this hype that I didn't understand because one, I was a child, but two, because like I was like a year or two within Shaun of the Dead coming out. So like everybody had already thought everything they needed to do about zombies by the time I watched it. Mm-hmm. But when I watch it like now or like watch it for what it is, it's hysterical. There's so many gags in Dawn of the Dead. Yeah. Like, Night of the Living Dead is very serious and it's trying to prove something. And, you know, a black guy gets shot. Spoiler alert. But Dawn of the Dead just has, like, zombies falling off of things and getting their heads chopped off. And, like grabbing bikers. And there's such a camp to it that I don't associate with Jaws pretty much. But I definitely associate with House.
And I want to mention that kind of the rock and roll element of this. A lot of people will do the Japanese Hausu or whatever, however you say pronounce that. Mm. But originally in Japan, they wanted to call it House. And I think they may have. because it was English and that was rock and roll.
Yeah.
So I think in Japan, it was just called House. And that's not a translation when it came over. It was the exact title.
Yeah.
And I think that credit sequence that you see is probably what was the original credit sequence as well.
I think it's just probably called House because we have 80s like series of movies called House, obviously, you know,
true.
And then there's House MD. There's
the music,
probably some other house. Yeah. There's the music,
the music genre.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so too many houses, they had to distinguish themselves.
But when this played in SF, it was called House though.
Well, and like, hey, let's just call it House. We are calling it House.
Yeah,
we are.
Yeah.
Title of this
House episode. 78, 77, whatever.
Yeah.
All right. I think this is a good time to take a quick break and then we're going to come back.
I feel like we've talked about it and it also explained nothing at all. There's no way. It's just one of those movies
that's like,
visually crazy that you have to see it to believe what it is.
I would agree.
You know? Yeah. Anyway.
So let's take a quick break.
Yeah.
And come back with the big roundup.
I would rather have a day job than be a Pokemon master.
Han Solo is clearly more attractive than Indiana Jones.
I would take the Star Wars trilogy over the Matrix trilogy any time.
The Legend of Zelda versus Super Mario. Who's better in bed, Jafar or Gaston? And would Thanos masturbate with the Infinity Gauntlet or not? Every week, Nerd Rage the Great Debates brings you the funniest comics, writers, and podcasters to settle some of geekdom's most divisive topics. Find us on Spotify or wherever you find podcasts.
Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Annie. Have you ever enjoyed a palaver?
Is it good to be the dog's dinner?
Who is this Bob, and why is he your uncle?
For the answers to all these questions, you'll have to listen to our podcast, Boo to a Goose, breaking down British and American expressions and idioms.
We use them, define them, and explain their history, all in a short, digestible format.
So go ahead and check out Boo to a Goose wherever you get your podcasts.
Cheerio!
That means goodbye.
Today, documentary films are experiencing a major renaissance, and for good reason. But why are audiences increasingly choosing fact over fiction?
Is it a dearth of realism, like endless comic book sequels and end-of-the-world action movies? Are viewers choosing authentic storytelling over spectacular visuals and far-fetched plots?
Or maybe it's because docs f***ing rule. Hi, I'm Parker Romain.
And I'm George Chen.
And we host SupDoc.
We didn't go to film school. We're just two comedians that dork out on docs.
And since 2015, we've been recapping amazing documentaries with comedians, actors, and filmmakers like legendary comedians Dana Gould and Todd Glass.
Musicians like Yacht and Dan Deacon.
And even media stars like Jesse Thorne and Francesca Fiorentini.
The AV Club called us enlightening, and Boing Boing said, SupDoc is a great idea for a podcast.
So find us wherever you get your podcasts or join us at supdocpodcast.com.
And follow us on social media at SupDoc Podcast.
All right, welcome back. And it is time now for the big roundup. And this is where we just kind of review the show or the review of the movie and give some recommendations on what to seek out if you like this. So, OJ, on a 1 to 5 star scale, what would you give House?
I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5. I think it's a must watch. I think it contains so much about what I love in movies, which is like kind of, genre conventions, but ultimately something so bonkers, something so personal, you know? Mm. It's not just an indie movie. It's not just a 70s psychedelic movie. It's not just a horror movie. It just feels like, indirectly or maybe just coincidentally to like evoke both Evil Dead and Cabin in the Woods. Like Evil Dead's meta as hell, but then to take it one step further and feel like a commentary on the commentary, that's impressive. Especially for a movie that you probably weren't going to experience unless you looked it up, because this wasn't for everything I've seen on like IFC or any of the gatekeepers for movies in general. Nobody was telling me about this, and it felt like a real gem for me to find.
Excellent. So 5 out of 5 for House. Randy, what are you going to give this one?
That's high praise. I thought this was really cool visually and stuff, and it is a movie that totally punishes you for looking away because it moves so quickly and stuff. There's all this like weird shit happening constantly. But it almost was like it was so relentless to me that I like fully glazed over at times. And like there was a point where like I fell asleep and I had to stop it, go back and like go back. And it was like, I mean, you know, I did watch the whole movie, but like, yeah, I was like, I just sort of got kind of like lost in a bad way, I guess. Maybe, I don't know. I just can't envision. It's one of the, me and Will were talking about like, there's like trippy movies and then there's like trippy for trippy's sake, I guess. And that this kind of is in more of that like, and there's movies like this, like Into the Void, or is it Enter the Void? The Gaspar Noé movie. I don't know how to say his name either. I'm a fool. But you know what I'm saying. Yeah. There's like a couple of like movies like that, like where it's just like, man, I don't want to watch this thing. And like, I would say this is like a little bit in that category for me, but I also did enjoy it. But I watched it. It's again, you have to see it to believe it. It's not as bad as like Toys, which is another movie you have to see to believe. I wouldn't recommend that you watch. I gave this movie 3.5 stars.
Cool. For me, this one is, yeah, there's definitely stuff that does it better. But if you're looking for something that's made outside the U.S., this is a neat one to, this is one that I find interesting, but not required. And what I do like about this movie is that it's a great party movie. It's a great one to show people who are not necessarily into film or whatever. And it's just, it's so visually fun that you can put it on at a party and you can basically turn the sound off and it's still fun to watch. Another movie like that is Fantastic Planet, which I'm sure you have probably seen with the audio replaced with Aphex Twin on some YouTube streaming radio station, I'm sure. But it is a movie like that where it is just so visually kind of fun that it's good for watching in a group. I imagine seeing this in the theater was a lot of fun when it made the rounds out here. So with that, I think I'm going to match Randy and give it 3.5 stars. It's pretty fun. It's pretty cool.
I feel like I'm being generous with that. No, just like sitting here thinking, I think maybe I want to give it 3. I'm going to bump it down.
I'm going to keep it at 3.5. It's a little bit above an average movie. It's a neat relic. And it's one that, again, not necessary, but fun to seek out and cool to show to a group of people and have on at a party. So
can I make a suggestion based on this one?
Yeah.
Watch American Pop. It was early 80s animated film about music and misogyny, and it's completely animated, but in that way that's just like, feels like Coolville or just like shit that like no one's telling you to watch that movie, but it's like, it's so crazy that it exists. You know, there's certain movies that are cult classics, and then there's certain movies that are like cult classics, which like those are fun too. But then there's certain movies that like no one's caping for, but like, are you telling me in the same language of The Godfather, but it's a movie about music and it's about, and it's animated. Like, that's the pitch to get me to watch that movie. But, you know, video stores aren't open anymore. and weird like festivals aren't doing it anymore. So like, yeah, you got to find movies like these for yourselves, and yeah, find American Pop, because like, even if that's like, it's like House, not a perfect movie at all, drags like hell, but the fact that someone was so committed to it and that it's so unheralded just creates a situation where like, all right, completely unfiltered, how do you feel about this movie? Because there's you're probably not going to find anybody reviewing it. There's not going to be a YouTube video explaining it. And there's probably not even, you're probably not even going to find like trade information about the budget and how much it made. Like, that's how obscure some movies can get and kind of lose its place in the canon. But yeah, American Pop is in that same realm of like, I can't believe this exists. It's not my favorite movie, but I'm glad it exists.
I'm a big Ralph Bakshi head. So yeah, American Pop is good. I have a distinct memory of when that got a re-release in like 1992 or something.
Yeah.
I went to a Service merchandise and they were playing it on every TV in the TV display area. It was, I think it was the part where I think Jimi Hendrix, it's a Jimi Hendrix scene. Where he's playing Star Spangled Banner, I think. But
I feel more like it was like 96 maybe or something.
When that, I don't know, because I know that Service merchandise was.
I remember, I just also remember like when it came out, there was seeing commercials for it, and then it was like at the video store, and I rented it and was like, oh, this movie is fucking cool. I'm also a bit of a Bakshi head myself.
So. Yeah. we just watched Cool World a few months ago again, and that, it is what it is. It's, you know, it came out after Roger Rabbit, and that's what people were expecting, and it is not that movie. So, but that's a very good suggestion, OJ. I do like that movie.
Yeah,
a lot.
It is.
That's a very cool, cool one from Bakshi. Randy, you got any suggestions for this
one? So, okay, I guess in that spirit, I have two recs, but in the spirit of what OJ just said, I'll say I Married a Strange Person. Bill Plimpton's movie is a very weird, I can't believe this exists. It's like animated. His style, he has a lot of movies, and he's like, people probably would know him from like Simpson. He does some of the opening. He's done like seven of them, I think, at this point, of like, you know, when the Simpsons sit on the couch or whatever, he's done like a couple of those. But his style is like, he draws everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all hand drawn stuff, and it's all his twisted, like perverted, you know, outlook on life and stuff. It's cool. I don't know. It's a cool movie. But then another thing, going back to like, I can't even remember if it was The Cat or what it was. Something falls off the balcony at their house, and it like in camera, like there's like this frame that appear, like everything freezes, and then it's like movement inside it. If it's like a comic book or a manga or something, and just like doing extremely weird stuff like that, which like, you know, you don't see like in a lot of American movies. It reminded me of Knock Off, the movie that it's this guy that worked with John Woo while he's like a Chinese director. To spark, I have no idea. I'm butchering all of these words I'm saying. But a point in that movie where Jean-Claude Van Damme's shoes are like bootleg shoes, and they're starting to fall apart, and the camera goes inside of the shoe, and then the shoe like explodes. And it just reminded, like when I was watching this last night, it was reminding me of that movie, Knock Off. So that's on Prime. Everybody should check that out. I know that's kind of a left field recommendation, but that's what I got, Will. Back to you. Excellent. What's your Rex? Yeah.
I would go back to Thomas Crown Affair, just because visually it matches. It's a completely different movie. It's a heist movie.
Yeah.
But I literally caught it on TV on Pluto the other day, and it was like there's this scene where people are playing polo. Steve McQueen playing polo. Mm-hmm. And it is like shrinking in boxes to people's faces, following a ball around, like all, and it's just weird shit like that.
That's awesome. I want to see this.
I think it was Norman Jewison who directed that. So this was maybe after Rollerball, but maybe before Jesus Christ Superstar. So he's really good, like getting goofy with this, like from the get go, from the moment that movie starts to the end of it, it's just like all this, like weird cut up frame and stuff. It's really weird. And I don't think they did that in the remake. So that's my suggestion. All right. About wrapping it up. OJ, anything you got going on? Anything you want to promote?
Yeah, of course. I got a rep for Super Trash Brothers. We've been doing it for about, almost 7 years. And there's like 12, 13 of us. And, you know, right now we're keeping it safe. We're only doing online streams. But yeah, we're still doing it. We're still figuring out ways to, get drunk and play video games, which feels like an achievement. And also, you know, we hope in the next few months or so to kind of expand it, to kind of open it up and be more inclusive. And, you know, we get it. You know, you're just alone out there in the internet. Yeah. You don't know how hard we're repping for either the trashed or the bros element of what's just a very dumb pun.
Yeah.
We play video games and we drink. So why not make a pun on Super Smash Bros?
Yeah.
And now, you know, we've basically created an entire enterprise on it. So maybe we should change the date. Who knows? But yeah, for now, check us out on supertrashbros.com, on Twitch, on all our socials. And yeah, hopefully you can rock with us. And we hope to see you soon.
Yeah. I will say with that, it is, that's a fun show. It makes just watching people play video games feel like an inclusive event. It feels like you're doing something by going through the drinking game.
Yeah.
It's a very fun party experience. And it's always fun watching you all hang out. So
thanks, Will.
Big recommendation. Yeah. Randy, what you got?
Oh, you know me. I got literally nothing, really. check out my band, Chat Pile, and I hope everyone's, just Misery Junction, you know, yeah. A little peek behind the curtain. This is like, who knows when this episode's coming out, but we're in March, will probably, you know, be happening by the time this comes out. It's like, where will we be, you know? I don't know. So anyway, we're just doing our thing, watching movies.
Had a good time. Never felt more hope and joy from a human being before.
Will, what do you have to plug for us today?
Well, very similarly, I got a podcast. It's called Nerd Rage the Great Debates. It's got a lot of folks from Super Trash Brothers who come on pretty regularly. So if you're a fan of Super Trashed and you haven't checked out Nerd Rage, check it out wherever you find podcasts. SupDoc Podcast, where we do basically this show, but it's for documentaries, and I'm not really on it, but I do work on it. And then, tell everyone you know about Cathode Ray Mission and that you want to hear Will and Randy talk about movies.
Oh, yeah. Please do that for sure. Yeah.
Do the rate and review thing and all that good stuff. So
I haven't even checked all right. Anyone's done that, but
we'll we had a big string of folks because I asked for it, and so we had some good reviews coming through. So all these things, check them out, especially now that we're in quarantine and everyone's looking to keep doing things and stay busy so we don't go crazy. So I'll say goodbye to all y'all. Thank you, OJ, for coming on.
Thank you, OJ, for coming on, for real.
Thanks for having me.
And for bringing us in, for finally getting me to watch this movie. So
yeah, me too. I can finally at least weigh in on it and not have everybody be like, you like this movie. Like, people always tell me about this movie.
Like, and you're like, no, I've seen 3.5. No, 3?
3.5 is... Yeah, I do.
Get out of my face.
All right, everyone. Thank you for coming on, and I'll see you all next week.